Let me just kind of set the scene for you and then we'll go forward. The walls of Jericho have fallen. Achan sinned against the Lord by taking some of the booty or the loot from that city. They were defeated in front of Ai. They repented. God gave them victory over Ai, and they started a march through the promised land, defeating one enemy after another. Boom, 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 boom. But there came a point where they had conquered enough territory that a man named Caleb comes up to Joshua and he says in verse 9, "So on that day Moses swore to me," he's talking about 40 years before plus, 45 years, "the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time He said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, brother." Chuck King, this man's been a pastor most of his adult life, and I've met him recently. It fascinates me because he's 85 years old, and I'm preaching about Caleb today. Listen to what he says. "I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out." Talking about when he was one of the 12 spies that went in, spied out the land. And by the way, him and Joshua were the only two spies that said, "We can do this. We can take this thing. Oh, I know there's giants there. We can take it because God's with us and He's eating their lunch ahead of time." They are just, basically, you go back and read it, Numbers chapter 14. Caleb basically says, "We'll eat their lunch, man. God is on our side and they can't succeed against us." But the other 10 had a different opinion. They said, "We look like grasshoppers in their eyes." And they gave such a discouraging report to the nation of Israel, they were ready to stone Moses, elect a leader, and go back to Egypt as slaves. That's how discouraging that word was from those 10 spies. And Caleb and Joshua tore their clothes and fell on their face and said, "Please, please believe God." Fast forward, 45 years later. Really, it's probably about 43, because that moment was probably about a year or two after they actually came out of Egypt, did the Sinai thing, came through the desert. Anyway, but over 40 years later, Caleb is saying, "You remember when? Do you remember Moses' promise to me? He told me at that moment, because you wholly followed the Lord your God, you will have wherever your foot trod." You'll have it. It'll be yours. It's your everlasting possession. It will be your territory because you wholly followed the Lord and didn't bail out with the other 10. In face of insurmountable odds, you dared to believe the promise of God. And your day's coming, Caleb. And here's the day. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I kind of wonder if that was a statement of faith or if it was like, he was like, ninja. "Now give me this hill country." Many of your translations will say this mountain. "Give me this hill country or this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said." Amen. The Anakites were like Goliaths. They were huge, oversized men. And there were three primary sons of Anak that were still in this hill country or this mountain. And Caleb is saying, "Let me tell you something. God promised me. And He has brought me this far. And we may have had a 45-year detour, but the promise still stands. And I am a man of promise, and I'm going after it. And He has sustained my strength this far, and I'm going after the inheritance He promised me. This impassioned appeal to Joshua, if all the children of Israel would have had the attitude of Caleb, they would have completely defeated the enemies in the land. I'm convinced of that. But as it was, when Joshua died, there were still enemies left in the promised land. If you compare it with the children of Joseph in chapter 17 of Joshua, they didn't conquer all the territory God allotted them because some of their enemies had iron chariots, which was like the super weapons of the time. And they were totally intimidated, evidently, and did not take possession of their inheritance and their promise. There's two or three things I want to tell you about this. First one is promises are given for wholly following the Lord. Amen. Promises are given when we wholly follow the Lord, whole heart. We just sang about it. There's nothing better than You. We just prayed about it. God, consume me with a love for You. Joshua and Caleb wholly follow with a whole heart. What does the Bible say? When you seek for Me with your whole heart, then I will be found by you. So what does whole heart look like in practicality? It doesn't look like perfection, but it does look like persistence. It does look like passion. It does look like affection. It does look like allegiance. It does look like attention to the Lord. Amen. As a lifestyle, as a core value of our lives. Promises are given for wholly following the Lord. Caleb's territory was enlarged. What you may not realize is Caleb was of the tribe of Ephraim. And yet, Hebron and this hill country, this mountain that was promised to him, that his feet actually walked on, was actually within the territory of Judah. And yet, they made a special exception to this man who wholly followed the Lord. He got more than his allotment because he wholly followed the Lord. His territory was enlarged, blessings flowed, and they will for us when we wholly follow the Lord. What does that look like? Well, it looks to me like it equals taking risks. Taking risks because you believe God. Taking risks because you believe God keeps promises. Taking risks because you believe the promises He makes are bigger and better than anything else anyone else can promise you. He dared believe that God made promises, and I'll talk about this in a minute, that were worth fighting for. Holy following the Lord equals taking risks, daring to believe God, believe He keeps promises, dare believe He empowers obedience, dare believe that when God goes, He goes big, and those promises are worth fighting for. The second thing is this, foundations for today's victories were laid in the past. Most of us are sitting here today because somebody prayed for us. Some grandma 100 years ago was praying for grandchildren. You don't even know it. Amen. We didn't make this happen. We didn't save ourselves. Somebody dared share the gospel with you. Someone taught you the ways of the Lord. Someone interceded for you in your worst moments. You are not a self-made believer. You're not a self-made warrior, a self-made person. You are building on the foundation of somebody else's sacrifice and faith. And it's not just true about our nation and our military. And thank God we just passed 9/11. And we have to thank God for the courage and sacrifice of patriots for 200 plus years. But it's even more true of the saints that have paved the way, and many gave their lives just to make sure we had the Bible in our language. God never forgets. Listen to me. God never forgets. He never forgets. Amen. He's the one that made the elephants that they say never forgets. He never forgets. He never forgets your grandmother's prayers. He never forgets your daddy's godly example day after day after day after day. He never forgets that offering given to a missionary when you didn't know whether you were going to be able to pay your power bill or not. He never forgets the investment in eternity. The Bible says over and over through the writings of Paul, He created us for good works, and He never forgets one of them. But He never forgets our investments too. He never forgets that first love we had that we talked about just earlier. He never forgets those new and fresh moments when we just wanted to be close to Jesus. No matter what it took, no matter what it cost, no matter how we looked, no matter what anybody thought. And I'm going to tell you, if you've never been there, if you've never tasted that first love, you need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Because there's no one can do you like Jesus. And if you've never felt the thrill of that, if you've never felt just gripped by His beauty and His awesomeness, then you need to experience Jesus. And He's ready. He's ready. Some of you sitting here, we talk about having two Sunday night services in a row. It's like, whoo. But there's more than one of us sitting here. We went to church three times a week, and then we had revivals too. And you know what? I was told stories by my grandparents who had to do church in a barn and then had to do church in a brush arbor out in the heat in Troy, Alabama. And they couldn't wait to get there. Sometimes they would walk miles to get to church because they couldn't wait. And they would do it night after night and then be up way before sunrise and feed the chickens and the pigs and the cows and go out and pick cotton all day. Why? What's wrong with those folks? They're infected. They're infected with Jesus. Because He's better than life. Your loving kindness, David said, is better than life. My lips shall praise You, thus will I bless You. He never forgets your first love. He never forgets those promises you made Him when you first gave your heart to Jesus. He never forgets those acts of kindness and sacrifice. He never forgets. He never forgets your investments and those moments when you obeyed God, even though it was difficult and it was costly to you. He never forgets. He didn't forget Caleb. 40 years of wandering around with a bunch of rebellious rascals, but he wholly followed the Lord. And God didn't forget. God didn't forget. And thankfully, Caleb didn't either. Amen. Caleb remembered God's promise, and God remembered Caleb's faithfulness. And it made a difference. You see, the foundations for today's victories were laid by somebody. And God's ready to come through. The third thing is this, is the promised victory is gained with a fight. Amen. The promised victory is gained with a fight. Now, I know we're talking about an Old Testament story. We're not talking about believers that were full of the Holy Spirit. I get all that. But we're making an application. And it says in Hebrews that all these things were written for our example. And so we're trying to take the example of Caleb and translate it into New Testament living for Jesus. Okay? So just bear with me here. The promise is worth fighting for in spite of giants. Because I'm going to tell you something. God's made you promises. How many of you, you're standing on a promise or you know of a promise God's made real to you and it hadn't come to pass yet? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. His promises are worth fighting for. What do I mean by fighting? I mean fighting the fight of faith. Taking your stand and saying, I will not let go of this promise. I will not let go of the promise He gave me through that prophetic word of that youth pastor when he said the trickle's going to become a stream and the stream's going to become a river and it's going to make a difference. It's going to bring life. I'm holding on to that, but what I'm really holding on is the promises of this book, because they are yea and amen to them that believe. And God wants us to learn to fight in the Spirit and intercede and fight with faith. He wants us to take hold of the promises of God and not let go. Because it's worth it. I want you to notice what Caleb said. He said, give me this mountain or this hill country with the giants. And it doesn't say giants, but the sons of Anak were giants. He's really saying, I'm not willing to settle for just anything. I want everything you promise me. I want an inheritance that will bring glory to your name when I receive and seize it. I want the territory that you have promised so that your name can be magnified in my victory as I partner with you. Did God give them the Holy Land? Yes. Did He give them the Holy Land without a fight? No. It was a partnership. And that is a principle that translates to today's New Testament believer. There are things God asks us to do in the receiving of promises. And there are things, there's part of it that only God can do. You see, what Caleb was really asking or demanding was opportunity to partner with God. You say, how do you know that? Because down in, I don't even know what verse it is, it says, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. I think it's verse 12. The Lord helping me. You hear what he said? The Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Amen. The giants. The giants we're talking about here. Amen. With his help. In other words, in partnership with God and standing on the promise, I will see victory. Amen. But it's going to come by standing on the promise and fighting the fight of faith. God empowers obedience. God empowers obedience. Some of you sitting here, you're thinking, yeah, I got giants in my life, but I just don't think I'm up to it. You're probably not. I'm probably not. Something happens when we obey God. Amen. Something happens. He empowers our decision to respond to His commands and His promises. He empowers our decision. That means you may not get the power until you respond. You may not sense any strength. You may not sense an anointing. You may not sense giants falling until you make a move in response to His promise or His command. Amen. Well, I want the power, then I'll step out. No, step out and He'll give you the power. Amen. As I said, Caleb wasn't content with easy inheritance, but one that makes his heart yearn. The challenging one. The promised one. The promised inheritance. I want to tell you what I feel like in my heart that God wants me to say to you. God wants to take down some giants. Amen. With you. He wants you to be his partner. Amen. He wants me to be his partner. God wants some giants to fall. Amen. But he's looking for partners. He's looking for partners. Yep. Say, well, I'm not David running out with a slingshot against a giant. I'm not David. No, you're you. And Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Amen.
I can do all things through. God wants to take territory from giants today. So how do we start? We name our giant. What were the names of the three giants that Caleb faced in Hebron? Well, if you go over to chapter 15, verse 14, it names the sons of Anak there. Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. But none of us know their names. We know Caleb's name. We know Caleb's name. But those boys fell. Those giants came down. And Caleb took over the inheritance. I want to challenge you today to name the giant. Name the giant that burns you up or burdens you down. Name the giant. For some of you, it's a personal giant. I get that. Maybe it's depression, or maybe it's fear, maybe it's a wayward child you've been praying for years. Or maybe it's disease. Or maybe it's grief. Or it's regret that you just can't seem to overcome. Name your giant today. Because God wants to bring them down.
Amen.
He wants to bring them down. Because they're standing between you and your promise.
Come on. Amen.
But there's bigger giants that I think all of us need to find which one we need to go after. There's corruption and immorality in government. There's abortion. There's racism. And I know some of you, oh, there ain't really no race. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. You want to talk to me about that later? Come talk to me. Maybe it's poverty. It just burns you up when you see it. It just burdens you down when you see dysfunctional families falling apart. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's alcoholism. And you see it just ravaging people you know and love. And God wants to say to you today, He wants to use you to help bring some bigger giants down than those just that affect your own personal life. Maybe it's abuse, maybe it's neglect, maybe it's sex trafficking, maybe it's selfishness or apathy in the church. Maybe it's people that are losing their faith and turning away from the church. Maybe it's the loss of our influence on our culture. All those things are giants that stand in the way of what God wants to do in America right now. Issue is, are we like Caleb? Do we dare walk where giants stalk? Do we dare walk where giants stalk? I want to tell you something. Passivity is not in God's playbook. You hear me? Passivity is not in God's playbook. I'm not saying that there's not times we need to wait on the Lord, because there is. There's times we just need to be still and be quiet and know He's God. I get that. But passivity, when it comes to giants that are raping and pillaging our nation, our community, or our family, we are not called to be passive. You say, but I can't do anything. I'm helpless. I'm just little old me. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a politician. I'm not a wealthy businessman. I'm not a star athlete. I'm not an entertainer with a platform. What can I do? You can figure out which one of these giants burdens you down or burns you up and say, God, show me where I start. Amen. Show me where I start. Because I'm available. Yeah, they're giants and we're grasshoppers, but a grasshopper plus God equals a majority. Amen. And it's time we start believing that. Amen. I've said this to you over the last 2 or 3 weeks and I'm going to say it again. I believe we were all born for this moment. I am living with a very real sense of divine appointment in this moment for our nation, for our community. I think most of us accept the idea that we have a God-ordained responsibility to our family and maybe even our church. I said this yesterday at the men's meeting. I want to say it to all of you. The most patriotic thing you will do for this nation this fall is get on your face and obey 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm not saying don't vote. I beg you to vote. I beg you to register to vote. I beg you to do that. It's your, I believe, God-given responsibility. But the most important patriotic act you will do this year is get on your knees and dare believe that God can bring giants down in this nation. You say, well, that's big. You don't think that what Caleb faced when he went on that little spy trip out into the promised land, you don't think that was just as big to them? Average Jew stood about 5'5", and these men are 9 feet tall. You don't think that was intimidating? You don't think that looked impossible? I mean, we want to just dump on all these other 10 and all the people they affected. But let me tell you something. They faced real world problems. They faced real in the flesh, in your face. I can break you in little pieces and eat you for lunch problems. And I can promise you, they felt at least as helpless as we do today to do anything that would help our nation or our community. But God. Do we really believe that? You were born for this moment. I went in the senior class today. They had class today because many of them have kind of been being real careful and doing the social distance thing, and they hadn't been really able to freely associate with us in here. And so they had class today, and I went in there and told them, I said, I'm going to be preaching to you. And here it comes. Some of you have watched your purpose just slide past you. I'm not talking about just our older folks. I'm talking about all of us right now. You just let your purpose just kind of drift away in the minutia of daily living. You've let your purpose just kind of slip through your fingers, something that maybe at one time God put on your heart. It burdened you and it burned you up and you were determined to make a difference, but somehow it's just kind of slipped through your fingers and you find yourself just going week to week, month to month, surviving. I'll do good just to pray and read my Bible, Pastor. That's not God's will for any of us. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. It is not God's will that we just survive. It is not God's will. It is God's will that giants fall where we walk. It is God's will that we take possession of promises. It is God's will that we expand the territory where God is magnified by His people. And that goes way beyond these walls. In case you hadn't heard, we've got 7 churches right now involved. We're going to be having a praise and prayer rally downtown Gunnersville October 17th, amen. 10 o'clock. Yeah. We'll be marching down several blocks and coming back up to the courthouse about 9:30. But after that prayer and praise rally is done, we're going to spread out on the street on Gunnersville and get on our knees and humble ourselves and cry out to God for mercy. But from there, we're going to prayer stations, and we've already got 4 prayer stations committed around the city where people can just walk up, drive up, and get prayer. Well, what's that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's trying to walk a little more like Caleb than those 10 spies. And you can be part of that, and you'll be hearing more about it. Renee, I want you to go ahead and come PM if you would. Caleb said, "You kept me alive for this moment." So have you taken a 45-year detour? God's still got promises for you. I don't care if you're 85 or you're 15 or you're 8 and a half. God's still got promises for you. Amen. There's still giants, though, standing in the way of your promises. And He wants to bring them down. And He'll bring them down as you and I dare say, "I'll take the mountain with the giant in it. The promise is worth it to me to live the kind of life you brought me into this world for." I've had several talks with some of our older saints here this week. And I told one of them, I said, "We need you. We need you. We need your faith. We need your consistency. We need your testimony because you've seen giants fall." And I want to say to everybody, you think your best days are gone by. This is your moment. This is your moment. Oh, I know you've worked hard for the kingdom and you've seen results and you've seen prayers answered and you got testimonies, and now maybe you're 85. And I'm telling you, it's not over until you quit breathing. You say, "But I can't really get out. My health does this and that and that." Listen, you can utter a prayer to heaven. My last main point: our age and our energy matches our giant when we partner with God and partner with other believers. You say, I'm tired. I don't have the health. I don't have the stamina. I don't have the years left. I'm on the sunset, express here, whatever. I'm telling you, until you quit breathing, you can help giants fall. When you partner with God, He hears your prayer, and you partner with God's people, we can be your hands and feet. We can help you, but we need you. We need you. I keep looking back here because there's a couple of couples back here. There's a couple right here, our founding pastors. We need you. We need that solidity. We need that depth. We need that assurance. Some of you have been through tougher times than we're going through. We need that. Together, we can see big giants fall. You know, my guess is everybody here has got a giant in your own personal life of some kind. I'm not saying you're in sin. I'm saying you got something you're praying about and it just hadn't come about yet. You have no idea, maybe you do, what it does for me when somebody comes up and says, you've been on my mind, I've been praying for you. And I'm going,
yes.
Because you know what that tells me? It tells me that I'm on God's mind and He knows what I'm facing. And He knows what I need. Because you know, here's the deal. You go over to chapter 15, you're going to find out that Caleb didn't take on Sheshine, Alheim, or whatever their names were, Talmai. He didn't take them on one by one single-handedly. His whole clan fought that battle together. And he even gave incentive to whoever could make their way up into the city first. He was going to give his daughter in marriage to the one that did that. I know that's not the way we do marriage around here, but anyway, my point is this. He knew he needed partners. He needed human partners. You need human partners. We all need somebody that'll help fight our giants, amen? We need each other. Caleb's promise became their promise. Caleb's fight became his family's fight. Caleb's victory became their victory. And God's got somebody that'll do the same thing for you. And your giant becomes their giant. Your promise becomes their promise. Your fight becomes their fight. Your victory becomes their victory. And that's the way God planned it. You bow your heads. I'm going to give you a couple of challenges here and we're going to pray, but before I do that, I want to just talk to those that might be gathered with us online. I just want you to know that everything I've just said goes for you too. And I know you've got giants. And I want you to know we want to help you fight your giants. There should be a response card down in the comments somewhere down underneath where you're watching this broadcast. But if you're watching us today or in this house today, if you've never really surrendered to Jesus, surrendered your heart to Jesus, surrendered your sin, your failure, your pride, your future, surrendered everything. He said, I need you, Jesus. You're my Savior. You bled and died for my sin. You rose for my life. And I declare that I can trust you with all that I am forever. And so I put myself, flaws and all, into your care and control. And I ask you, be my Lord and Savior. You can pray that prayer today. And He'll hear you. And He'll come and dwell inside you. He'll give you peace. And He'll show you your purpose. And He'll help you take some giants down. Respond to that card there. Now, for all of you, online as well as in-house, you just want to say before God and this group of fellow partners in the fight, I have a giant and I'm ready to name it because I'm ready to win. I just want you to stand up right now. I got a giant. My personal life doesn't mean you've got a hang up. It may mean it's a prayer that you've been believing God for years maybe or days. But I got a giant I want to see come down. I want to see him come down. Probably 2/3 of the people here today. Would you raise your hands up to heaven? I know I've said that about 5 or 6 times today, but it's just a way for us all to engage. Let's just pray together. Father, help us dare believe that we're giant killers with you in us. Help us dare believe that there's nothing impossible when you fill us and direct us and we respond in obedience. Lord, help us believe that giants are gonna fall. Help us believe that, Lord, the promise is sure to those that believe. Help us dare stand on your word today for individual giants that stand in our life or in our sphere of influence, God, things that, Lord, we have just labored over and maybe we've worried way too much. But today we declare, we name the giant and we say in faith, you're gonna fall. Come on, say it. You're gonna fall because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Father, I pray for us that confidence would grow from this day forward. That from this day, we would begin to declare with our mouth and pray as well as proclaim, the giant's gonna fall. The giant's gonna fall. That relationship's gonna be restored. That body's gonna be healed. That marriage is gonna be put back together. The finances are gonna reverse. Father, that depression is going to be defeated. That anxiety is going to be quelled. That fear is going to be eliminated. That temptation is going to be overcome in Jesus' name. Now we got one more order of business. And that is some bigger giants that go beyond our own personal lives. I just want to ask you, what burns you up or burdens you down when you watch the news? What burns you up or burdens you down when you encounter some life that is broken? What burns you up, burdens you down, or fires you up when you think about what God could do? What God could do. At work, at school, in my community, in my nation, in the world. Here's what I want you to do. Some of you know just like that what that is. You've got a passion about a cause. Maybe it's sex trafficking and it just burns you up and breaks your heart and you just don't know where to get a handle on getting involved in it. I'm telling you, if that's already there, then just go with it. God's ready to help use you to bring some giants down. And what day better than today, when our whole culture is trying to intimidate Christianity into a corner? It's time to be bold. It's time to go after it. But if you really don't, when I say, what giant is it that burdens you, your heart down, or it burns you up, or it fires you up? If nothing registers in your mind with that, would you pray this prayer with me? Father, you name my giant. Reveal the giant you want me to be involved in bringing down in our culture, in our community, in our world. Here I am, Lord. Take some territory from giants with me. Show me my purpose. Show me why I was born. Lord, regardless of whether I'm 85 or I'm 15, Lord, show me. Show me why I was brought into this world besides experiencing your wonder. Lord God, show me what giant you want to help bring down through my life, my ministry, my prayers, my giving, my serving, my loving, my sharing, my testifying, my sacrifice. Guide my soul, guide my mind, guide my heart to that giant. It may be discipling children in the ways of Jesus. It may be feeding the hungry, Lord. It may be working against sex trafficking. Lord, it may be to help those young ladies that are struggling with an unwanted pregnancy. I don't know what it might be, but Lord God, you have a bigger giant that you want us to bind together to defeat. I pray you would show it to us. If that's your desire, just say, yes, Lord. Show me. Show me. Show me, Lord. Now, some of you already know what that giant is, but some of you don't. Show me, Lord, the giant you want me to pray about, you want me to work against, you want me to serve, give, go, speak, love. Lord, I don't want to spend the rest of my days just surviving. There's millions, hundreds of millions of people dying and going to hell. And you want to use me. I want to be Caleb. I want to be a giant killer. I want to take territory and take hold of your promise and expand the area where Jesus is adored. Expand the amount of people where Jesus is magnified and loved supremely. Help me fill my purpose in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? I want to bless you in the name of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. And then in the words of Paul, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. Love each other.